Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, you teach the truth from the Father. Now help us to hear and learn and live according to these words of life. Quench the thirst of our souls with that living water you freely offer, so that those streams of living water flow deep in our souls. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Now keep that testimony of Peter in mind as you continue in the Gospel of John. These are words of life. Real words that were really spoken in real history. And as such, these words are meant for you. For the Word of God, the teachings from Jesus, are teachings from the Father. And they are timeless. What was said then is just as true as today. Jesus does have the words of eternal life. Time ticks. The sun sets and the sun rises and brings a new day. John is not very specific in the Gospel of John here about the places Jesus travels through in this region of Galilee. Nor is John very specific about how much time is passing by. John simply writes in his Gospel, "After this." John makes it clear that Jesus is purposefully staying out of Judea. The backlash of the hard teachings of Jesus are festering. The Jewish leaders heard Jesus' hard teachings, and they would not listen, nor would they believe. Jesus said, "My Father." And these Jewish leaders fully understood the enormity of the claims of Jesus as he reveals his identity. "I do the work my Father is doing." They understood Jesus making himself equal with God. And their reaction is appropriate reaction if Jesus' claims were false. False teaching is not to be tolerated. But these religious leaders, just could not fathom that this is the Messiah before them. This is God standing before them. They couldn't believe. John chapter 6 is when the Jewish Passover feast is near. And it took place along the Sea of Galilee and in Capernaum. John chapter 7 is also in the area of Galilee. And then it progresses back down to Jerusalem for the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. Passover is in the spring. And the Feast of Tabernacles is in the fall. What this means, Jesus has been teaching, healing, and traveling through Galilee for about 6 months. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming near. And the law says, this is one of the feasts that every man of certain age and older is to appear before the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus' brothers say something to the effect, "Go to the festival in Jerusalem. Do your works there for everyone to see. Stop hiding all the way up here in Galilee. We know you want publicity. Jerusalem's the place." That's what Jesus' brothers sort of said to him, in effect. Go to Jerusalem. Show yourself. You know you want to be known by everybody. Make a big public display. Now imagine yourself being a sibling of Jesus. Your big brother that you grew up with is now making all these claims and doing all these deeds with signs and wonders along with words. Would you believe? These brothers of Jesus at this time don't believe. Jesus isn't going to Jerusalem with them, for the time is not right. Jesus stays in Galilee and then heads down later. He arrives about halfway through the Feast of Tabernacles and goes into Jerusalem, into the temple courts, and there in the temple courts he sits down and starts teaching. And what's taken place here is a fulfillment of what is written in Malachi chapter 3, a part of verse 1. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Now the people sitting around Jesus in the temple listening to him are amazed at his wisdom. They wonder, where did he get this wisdom? How did he get such learning? For they know he hasn't studied. You remember, he's a carpenter. How did he get this wisdom? In reply, Jesus points to his father. Just as he did as recorded in John chapter 5, Jesus points to his father. My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Jesus is ratcheting up the tension, ratcheting up the conflict, trying to get the people to see and understand what he, Jesus, is revealing to them right before their eyes, that he, Jesus, is the Christ, the Messiah of Israel. During this time of the Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus is depicted in John's writings as a pilgrim with references to where he is going and where he is from. And this is striking that this is taking place during the Feast of Tabernacles. For the Feast of Tabernacles commemorates the wilderness wandering of Israel and how they lived in tents. The feast is a joyous celebration of the current harvest. But more, it's a remembrance of God's provision and protection in the wilderness, traveling from Egypt to the promised land. Remember, God's provision was daily. Daily bread called manna and water, many times miraculously given. And this is during the Feast of Tabernacles. You remember these things of the Exodus. Now, during the Feast of the Tabernacles, with Jesus' teachings and the wisdom of them, the crowd starts to whisper, is this the Messiah? Is this the Christ? The chief priests send the temple guards to arrest Jesus. And Jesus does more teaching. These guards try to seize Jesus, but no one is able to lay a hand on him. And John explains, because his time had not come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in Jesus. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? In other words, they're seeing the signs. They're seeing the wonders. Could the Christ do more than what they're seeing before their eyes? And the conclusion they come to is no. What we're seeing is the Christ, the Messiah. Now, listen carefully to what takes place during the Festival of Tabernacles. I really want you to listen carefully, Because as you listen carefully and you start putting this all together, you will hear the power of God displayed as if you were there. Daily during the Feast of Tabernacles, the high priest would lead a procession down to the Pool of Siloam. And at the pool, filled a golden pitcher with water. The procession would return back to the courtyard of the temple. And the high priest would then go and pour out a water libation, a sacrificial pouring out of the water to recall the Lord's provision. The Lord's provision of water. And as the water sacrifice is being offered, the people would wave their lavalot and sing out. The lavalot is a bouquet made of the four organic products mentioned in the Torah of the feast. Palm branches is one of them. And so they'd wave this lavalot and they'd sing portions of Psalm 118. I hope I do this well. I listen to it a lot, but it sort of goes like this. Ana Adonai Hoshea Na. Ana Adonai Hislaka Na. Baruch Haba Bashim Adonai. Baruch Nachem Mibet Adonai. And what it means is, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, let us thrive. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And that's Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. An ancient rabbi wrote about this event. Anyone who has not seen this water ceremony has never seen rejoicing in his life. So it's a parade with flutes, people singing, joy overflowing, processing down to the Pool of Siloam and back up to the temple. Crowds following, crowds rejoicing. With that rejoicing and singing, lifting high to the heavens. Now, get that picture in your mind. This singing, this procession, these voices lifting high to heaven and all the joy. And in the midst of that, hear from the Word of God, John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Are you understanding what's happening here? Is the power of God sending chills down your spine as you come to see the big picture that is happening here? The water procession and the great joy accompanying with it back to the temple praising God. The high priest is pouring out the water. The crowd is singing, "Ana Adonai Hashoya Yana. Ana Adonai Heslakana, Baruch Haba Bashim Adonai, Baruch Harem Mibet Adonai." And all during this time, O Lord, we pray, let us thrive. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there, standing right up there, he's saying, "Come to me. You are thirsty. And I will give you, as the scripture said, water springing up to you deep inside of you." Do you see the power of God in what's happening here? Save us, O Lord, we pray. And while that's going on in the shouts and the joy, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within. The remembrance of the wonderful provision in the wilderness, especially the miracles of water. And while that's remembered, and the pitcher's pouring, and the crowd is singing, "Save us, Lord," Jesus the Messiah stands and says, "Come to me." All who are thirsty, come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Are those shivers starting to go down your spine as that high priest is pouring out? Jesus reveals himself to be the God that is the Messiah in their midst. Some believe, some question. The guards went back to the Pharisee and said, "No one ever spoke the way this man does." Start putting two and two together through these chapters and see what John is doing in his gospel writings from John chapter 4 to John chapter 5 to John chapter 6 to John chapter 7. It builds into John chapter 8. John chapter 4, he's talking with the woman at the well in the water. John chapter 5, talking about life is through the Son. John chapter 6, Jesus is the true bread from heaven, with Jesus declaring, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And now in John chapter 7, Jesus boldly proclaims, "Come to him for living water to flow in you." Do you understand? Are you putting it together for yourself? Hearkening back to that great deliverance from bondage in Egypt, with provision, daily provision of bread and water in the wilderness by the power of God, is being summed up and presented right before your eyes. The Messiah, the Christ, is there, present with you. The true bread from heaven is right there before you. The giver of living water is right there before you. The one who has life in himself, who will give you life, is right there before you. Put it all together and realize the immensity of the implication of the one standing right before your eyes. Jesus is making very clear he is sent from the Father. He is doing the work of the Father. He has life in himself like the Father has life. And in Jesus is a greater deliverance than that deliverance from Egypt. For in Jesus, with his own flesh, he will give his life for the world. The parallel here is intentional, given by God so we could see and understand. The provision of God was very real back in the desert daily of the bread and water. And the provision of God is just as real now. The provision for you to see and you to understand is the provision for your redemption from bondage to sin is real. And it's in Jesus, who is the Christ. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said, "Are you thirsty? Come to me." Will you listen to the one whom the guards said, "No one ever spoke the way this man does"? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Come to Jesus. Is your soul dry and empty? Come to Jesus. Believe, and you will have streams of living water flowing within. Believe, and you will have life. That is the truth from Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his life so you may live eternally. Listen to the one who spoke like no one has ever spoken before. Listen to him, believe, and live. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.